We are in the book of Exodus chapter 7. Book of Exodus chapter 7, starting from verse 1.
And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophets. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land.
If you remember last week, Moses was frustrated. He talked to the children of Israel. They don't want to hear him. He talked to Pharaoh. Pharaoh gave them hard work, and they were so much in trouble. So when God says, go and talk to the children of Israel, he says, if my people do not listen, and then he said, talk to Pharaoh. He said, my people don't listen. How can Pharaoh listen to me? Now the God says, oh, now you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make you God of Pharaoh. And your brother will be your prophet. Your brother will be talking behalf of you. And this time, Pharaoh will send the children of Israel out of his land. He said, up to now you're begging, but still you are saying, let my people go. But I am the one hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And God did not tell Moses how long he is going to harden his heart. But God gave the warning to Moses that I am going to harden his heart. Let's read the verse 3.
And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt.
See, he says, this time I am going to harden the heart of Pharaoh, and I am going to do the signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. And so what kind of signs and wonders he was going to do, he did not tell Moses in detail. And so Moses has to depend on God every day. Up to now, Moses did not do a single miracle. He was just going back and forth, and he just talked to Pharaoh, talked to the children of Israel. But this time God is saying, you're going to show them the miracle. They will ask you, do the miracle. But in this chapter, they didn't ask anything, but they did miracle anyhow. Let's read the verse 4.
But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth mine armies, and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments.
Now here he says, again, this is many, many times God repeated, I will make the Pharaoh's heart harden. He will not let you go. I will do the signs and wonders and miracles. But here he's saying, I will bring the children of Israel. Now, children of Israel, he's saying, mine armies, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by the great judgment. So he's saying, I'm not only going to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, but I'm going to show the Egyptian my power and my judgment. I am going to judge them because they treated you bad. And so I will take care of them, that you don't have to worry. I'm going to do the miracles for you. Verse 5.
And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them.
Now he says, why am I going to do these miracles? I want you to prove it to the Egyptian or Egyptian people. The Lord God of Israel is greater than the Lord God of Egypt. Egyptian, they used to worship idols. They worship snakes, frogs. They worship all the idols just like Indian people do. The Lord is saying, I'm going to stretch forth my hand upon the Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And this way they will see that the Israeli God is more powerful God than Egyptians. Verse 6.
And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. So did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh.
Now here it says, whatever God says, they did. And then giving the age of the Aaron and Moses. Moses is 80 years old, Aaron is 83 years old. And so now, most of the time, people when they are 70 or 80 years old, they might almost retire. In America, retirement age is right now 66 or 65, 66. India, their retirement age was 50. Now they increase a little bit more. And now we are talking in America, retirement age might be 70 later on. So these people are almost finished the retirement age. They are in their 80s. Moses is 80 years old, and his brother is 83 years old. So sometimes people are thinking, oh, I'm too old, I cannot do anything. But if you serving the Lord, God gives you new energy, new power. I just heard other day, 54 years old, some movie star died. So people are dying in their 40s and 50s. They do everything for their living and show somebody that they are somebody. But they die in their early ages. But somebody who works for Lord, God gives them a long life. In a book of 91 Psalm, please read last two verses. I think maybe 15 and 16.
He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
See, when you call upon God, when you pray, he says, I will deliver him from all the trials and troubles and problems. Not only that, I will show him a long life. Long life is given for the children of God. So we do not settle for short life. Some people say, oh, I don't want to live too long. The life is too troublesome. But if you live for God, life is fruitful and life is blessing. Okay, let's go back to Exodus chapter 7, verse 8.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent.
Now, God said to Moses and Aaron, you go, and if they ask you to do some miracle, then you do miracle. But they might have asked, because here it's not written. If they didn't ask, Aaron is not going to do anything. So they might have said, what miracle you're doing that we have to believe in your God that God has sent you? So I think Pharaoh might have asked the question, but it's not mentioned here. So Aaron cast his rod, became a serpent. And this was done before, because Aaron already saw this. When Moses came from this Midian, and God told him, do three miracles for your people so they will believe you. First, throw the rod, will become serpent, and then take your hands and put it in the bosom, and then it will be leprosy, and then take it out and it will be all right, and then take the water and make a blood and pour it on the ground. And your people will believe that I send you. And he did these three miracles. But for the Pharaoh, this is the first time they are coming. So Aaron already saw this, that this rod can become serpent. And so he did it. And so let's read the further. Verse 11. Exodus 7:11.
Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments.
Now, somebody would say, how the Egyptian did this? It's not one or two, many Egyptian. In the movies, they might be showing four or five snakes. But they had so many musicians. So just think about a dozen people came and they threw the rods. Now, you know how people do magic, sorcery. They are all evil things. And magic is like fast hands trying to fool you. They do in front of you and you don't see because they do so fast. So just think that they had the rod, like a bamboo's rod, and make the hollow, put the snakes, and just dump it there and make a thread and just pull the rod back. They are just going to see the sound of the rod and snake. So they might be thinking all the rods are thrown here. Because in the movies, they make a lot of tricks, sound tricks and things like that. Nowadays, it's very easy with the camera. But I think something like that, they might have done it, but it's looked like a real. When you put the rod there and pull it and the snake comes, their eyes is on the snake, they don't know where the rod is gone. But anyhow, even though their rod becomes snake, it's impossible. Because he says the magician did it, so I don't believe that was a real rod. But here says Moses' rod ate his rods. And so Moses' rod did not eat, but Moses made the snake, and that snake ate their snakes, actually. Okay, let's read the verse 12.
For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods.
See? He said Aaron's rod swallowed their rods. Actually, Aaron's snake came from the rod, and that snake eat their rods, or their snakes. Verse 13.
And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said.
Now, when Aaron's rod, or Aaron's snake, ate other snakes, and those people didn't have any their rod remaining, still Pharaoh start thinking, hey, my people can do the same kind of trick, so this is not a big trick. And so his heart was hardened. God already said it. God did simple miracles first. And then he was going to do gradually harder and harder miracles. But their God is a snake God. That God didn't have any power to destroy the Moses rod, but the Moses rod had the power to destroy their gods. Okay, verse 14.
And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come, and the rod, which was turned to a serpent, shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood.
God knows where the Pharaoh is going tomorrow morning. So from that, you know, God watches over you wherever you're going, whatever you're doing. God says to Moses, Tomorrow morning, Pharaoh is going to go to the river. So you go to the river. But he did not say, go and stand by him. He said, go to river, stand opposite, means other side of the river. So why I was thinking, why God told him to do that? Because Pharaoh and his servants will be there. Why is going in the early in the morning to the river? Because they worship the river god. They worship the sun god. They go to the river, take the water, throw towards the sun, and then take the water on their head or take a shower, take a bath in the river and think they are holy now. And so he goes there with his servants. God says, go opposite side, river bank. Now, I don't know how big the river was, but I think he was able to talk to him from one side to another side. And so he said, you know what? You are not allowing my people to go. So what we are going to do, we are going to make your rivers blood. And so Pharaoh was not that afraid, because they had the lakes and so many rivers. So he thought, if they make water blood, we'll have so many other places to get our water. And first of all, he might have not believed the whole river. Nobody did that before, and he thought it is impossible. And so he wanted to see how these people are going to do. So he did not pay any attention. Let's read the verse 18.
And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone.
Now, if somebody listens to this, they're going to say, God is unreasonable God. Why God is doing, if Pharaoh is not listening, why other people has to suffer? Why the animal has to suffer? But he gave the warning. He said, you know what? We are going to strike the water. The water will become blood. All the fish will die, and they will stink. No people will be able to drink water. Think. And he has time to think and say, okay, I listen to you. But some people are stubborn. You give them the warning after warning. They read the warning in the Bible. They read the warning from pastor. They read the warning from the Holy Spirit, and they do not listen. They said, it's nothing is going to happen. Whatever they say is not going to happen. But here we see he gave the warning, and then exactly it happened. He struck the water in the river. Not only river, all the streams of the water, all the ponds, and all the water wherever they're stored, the wooden parts and the every part, means including the water they have kept in their houses. Everywhere the water became blood. Can you imagine how it happens? The word of God has power. When the word of God is spoken, the river's water automatically cannot run from there to somebody's house. But it happened everywhere where the water was, everything became blood. And so, these people do not have water. And how many days? These people do not have water to drink. On top of that, this Pharaoh has to be dumb. He is telling his magician, come and do something. Now, he is not calling them to make a blood. He's calling them to make water pure. But they come and they make the water bloody. I was thinking, how they made the water bloody? Everywhere water was blood already. How can they make the water bloody? I think they might have made some kind of river bank up the river. You dig some holes and the water can come, fresh water, and it's filtered, and so the water might be good to drink. So they might have tried that and say, this is the water, we can make this water blood, and we have ideas, we can make the water drinkable, don't worry. But it says here, they made the water blood, and then they dig the holes around the riverside, but I believe water was already bloody, so they don't have any other water to show. So they might have bought some pure water from the somewhere and say, see, we can make it blood, so don't worry, and we have pure water in the river banks. Okay, please read verse 20.
And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said.
See, the magician, each time they try to do exactly what the Moses did, but they were not able to have some solution. They making problems, but no solution. The devil is a destroyer. Devil can kill, devil can destroy, but devil will never give life or make something good. He is always doing bad things. From here we see all the magicians, all the sorcerers, everyone, they do something destructive things, but not anything good or positive things. And so Pharaoh is not telling them, hey, you are doing the same thing. What is the solution? Finally, you will see some of the things when God did, Pharaoh's people were not able to do it because they didn't know what to do. But few miracles they were able to do. Okay, verse 23.
And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river.
Now see, Pharaoh goes to his house. There is no water. Everywhere is blood. But some people start digging beside the river. And as I told you, the water will be filtered. And God was gracious. He would not purify the water. Not a single person will alive. They cannot live because this was almost 7 days. 7 days. I think the first day they saw the blood, and the same day they might have start digging the water and start drinking. But the river and other water will take a longer period of time to purify. The fish is already dead and everything. So God has to do some miracle and let these people have normal life. But here it says, verse 25.
And 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river.
Now, 7 days pass. Now, Pharaoh cannot go to that river early in the morning and take a bath in that bloody river. God allowed them to drink some water, you know, digging the holes and making the purified water. So they did not have the water facility like before. Everybody's going and taking the shower, and everybody's going and the animals are going and drinking that water. Now it is a little bit hard. Everybody has to go there and take a little bit water and bring it home. But still their heart is hardened. People might be frustrated. What's happening? We are not having enough drink. We don't have water for shower. We have so many problems, but Pharaoh is not listening. Sometimes people get into so many problems, but their leaders, they don't care. As long as they have the money, they have planes, they go to several countries by plane, they travel everywhere, they spend a lot of money. That yours and my money, they use it. But they don't care other people are suffering. The higher authorities. But they use the money not finding solutions, but use the money for their luxury. And so, this is a king. They cannot tell king, hey king, let these people go. We will have some peace in our land. These people are troublemakers. Let them go. But God says, I am going to harden the heart of Pharaoh. And sometime God puts the taskmasters. God put the enemies. You will be seeing, when the Israeli people do not listen to God, he will bring the enemy, and enemy will overtake them, and then they will cry to God and say, Lord, these people are harassing us, and then they will pray, and God will give them another leader. You will be seeing this in Judges all the time. This will keep on happening. God give them the good judges. They live for a while and start committing sin. Then somebody comes and does some wrong thing to them, and they will call upon God. And that's what's happening. Most of the time, people, when they have a good time, they don't want to go to church. They don't want to pray. But the bad time comes, then they call for prayer, or sometimes they might go astray. They might not want any part of God, because they think, you know, God is cruel, God is doing all kinds of things. When the people are having problem in the country, they blame God. Hurricane, disaster, famine, or some kind of problem comes, and they start blaming God. But actually, why these things happen? God has given mankind a free will. So people use free will to destroy other people, to do some harms, do some dangers. Now sometimes when the hurricane or fire and all these things happens, and you see, yesterday I was watching, they were showing 9/11 and how people were struggling. The one person, he said, I could not breathe. I start shouting, and he said, I could not breathe, I could not see anything. And so he said, I call upon God. And I said, oh God, I have two of my little children. I want to raise them. Could you give me a chance? Please help me. And then he said he heard the voice. There was another man. This one person was a black person. The other person was a white person. And he heard that black brother's voice. And he said, I'm going to give you a hand, but you have to come up. He said, I don't know what happened. The man gave me one jerk. And he said, I was just like some kind of angel. He said, I was already up there. And he said, he saved my life. And he started saying, you saved my life. He said, no, you saved my life. And so together they were testifying how God does miracle. There was no way, he said, there was no way I would come out of this. This is the one story. But I saw hundreds of stories how people were survived in that fire and how God rescued those people. Many, many times when the disaster comes, God rescued his people. I might have told you the story many times. There was a fire started in one end of the row house, came in the middle of the house, there was a one house, skipped that house, jumped the fire to other end, and whole row house was became ashes. And some people came and knocking at that door, and the old lady came and opened the door. He said, what is the secret? The house were burning from that end to this end, and your house is protected. She said, I'm a child of God. I'm serving the Lord, and God is my protection. Nobody came to rescue her. God rescued her. So God takes care of his children. God takes care of his people. But who does this? St. John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. When the people start blaming God, the children of God are supposed to say, this is not God is doing. This is the enemy doing to you. And enemy is telling you God did it, so you can hate God. That's the trick of the devil. When I went to this Melrose Diner, Melrose Diner's manager's father was having cancer. When I went there, this man started crying. I said, why are you crying? He said, I wanted to become a priest. I did not become a priest. So God became angry and he gave me the cancer. I said, no, sir, you got it wrong. Devil is telling you, God gave you the cancer, so you will hate God, and so you will go away from God. I said, God didn't do it. The devil did it. But I'm going to pray for you, and God is going to heal you. I prayed for him. Evening, I don't remember, 7 or 8 o'clock, myself and my wife, we both went there, St. Agnes Hospital, and we prayed for that man. When we came home early in the morning, his son calls and he says, Pastor Peter, my father is crying and he's so depressed. I said, what happened? He said, you prayed and after you left, the doctor gave him a bad report that his cancer spread to other parts of his body and so there is no reason to take his voice box. So I said, oh, that's good. They don't have to take the voice box. But he said, you don't understand. The cancer spread to all of his body. I said, sir, let me tell you. What time I prayed? I prayed in the evening, 7 or 8 o'clock. Did doctor come after that and took him for the checkup? And then he gave the report right away? He said, no. Then what happened? I said, that report was done before I prayed. And now the report was given in his hand after I prayed. And he's thinking, because my cancer is spread. I said, sir, the report was done before I prayed. Why don't you take your father for the checkup? And then you call me. He took his father for checkup. And then they found out there is no trace of cancer. This man comes to my house. It was a February month. Snow was up to the knee. And he comes and knocks at the door. And I said, what can I do for you? He said, I just came to tell you there is no trace of cancer. I'm healed. What I'm trying to say, the devil will come and tell you God is doing something wrong. And God is the source of every problem you have. But the devil is doing it. Jesus Christ came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. Go to the 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. There was not a single prophet was able to destroy the works of the devil, only Jesus.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
So Son of Man, who is the Son of Man? Jesus Christ, who took the form of man, and he showed mankind, I have power to destroy the works of the devil. And so he did. The word of God says, if you read in the Colossians, he defeated the devil, he destroyed him. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, it says, the devil is defeated. He took the key from him and he says, I was dead, now I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades in my hand. So that means now devil has no authority over the children of God. Even though we are dying, we are not dying to go to hell. We are dying to go to heaven. And so he says, now I have the keys. Devil cannot take you to hell, because the hell is shut down for the children of God. And so the point I'm making, Pharaoh's land is a sinful land, and he is trying to do destruction. But you see, Pharaoh gives the harsh commandment that they have to make the same kind of bricks. No straw was given, and they were beaten. They went to Pharaoh. They said, we are not going to listen to you. You people need a vacation. You people want to run from your responsibility. You have to work hard. But now you see, When the water became blood, you cannot make a bricks, can you? They used to have a brick with the pure water. A river became the blood. They could not make a brick. From this day onwards, children of Israel will have good time. They can only see the destruction of the enemy. If you read the Psalm 91, he says, thousands will be falling your right hand and left hand. You can see with your own eyes. Could you read that verse? Psalms 91, verse 7. Go ahead.
1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked.
See, this is the word of God. You will see with your own eyes. Thousands and thousands of people will be dying, but it will not come to you. You will see with your eyes. And this word was fulfilled. I was just watching the Rwanda, how the people were killing in Rwanda and some other African countries, and how many people are dying with this famine. Thousands of people we see with our eyes on the television. And so we see with our own eyes flies, destruction, dying people with the war and famine. But he says it will not come to you. So when you are a children of God, God protects you. This Israeli people, from this day onwards, 7 days there was a blood in the river, so they could not make a bricks. But after 7 days, if you read the verse, chapter 8, Moses goes back, and then the other miracles start happening. From that day until the children of Israel leaves the Egypt, no job. What is their job now? Just look at the enemy and wicked people's destruction with their own eyes. Nothing will come to them. Israeli people had the good water and good food and everything, and fish and everything. But the Pharaoh's people could not get the fish, could not get the pure water, and they were frustrated. So this is what God does. Now we are living in this crisis. How many people do not have job? How many people do not have food? How many people are lining up here and there for food? But by the grace of God, the children of God, we have enough food. We have enough good water. We have enough place to live, air condition and fans and everything. And if you compare this with the foreign countries, America is the richest country still. We have problems, but if you compare your house with some African or Indian people with the cardboard or with the bed sheets and their houses, and they are going in the dumpster finding little bit piece of paper or broken glass and save them and then go and sell it for maybe dollar, not American dollar, maybe their dollars. And so people are suffering around the world. And when this thing happening, we have the golden opportunity to go to these people, talk to them about God. You have this kind of problem, give your life to Jesus Christ and see what God can do for you. He will pick you out of the miry clay. He will pick you out from this dirt and filth, and you will be all right. If you see sometime this 700 Club, they say they go to the places when the people do not have houses and they have cardboard houses and no water. They dig the well for them. They give the they build the house for them. And some of them, they give the money to do small business. Some people do cooking business, some people do some of the fish business and different kinds of business. And so the people, when they come out of this poverty and say, Jesus Christ did it for me, these Christian people helped me. That's what I'm trying to tell my brothers who are in India. I'm telling them, you go to these poorest villages, talk to them about Jesus, and we will try to help them. If they don't have water, we'll put the well for them. It's not that expensive. In their money, it is expensive. But in our money, if somebody has $3,000, they can have a well and the water can give into for whole village. So $3,000 or $2,000 is not a big thing. If somebody doesn't have a house, we can build a house for $1,000. Not so expensive house, but with their money, we can provide the house for poor people. So point I'm making, just like God sent Joseph in Egypt, and he was able to help his brethren. So God has sent us here. We are living in the prosperity, even though we have so many problems. But thank God, we don't have food problem. We are not starving. God has supplied our needs. So the point I'm making, 7 days, these people has no good water, but they are not calling Moses. They are not calling Aaron, please come and do something for us. We are going to believe your God, or we are going to let you go. Some people, they suffer. Some beggars in Philadelphia, you go and talk to them and say, hey, I'm going to give you a house. Come and live. We'll give you food. Bring them there a week or so, they will run away. Why? They want freedom. They think, hey, I'm coming here and living in this one-bedroom house. I'm not getting my marijuana. I'm not getting my money. And if I stay on the street, every day I can beg, and at least I can make $100. Here I'm not making anything. So the people do not want the better place. They want to beg. Some people are happy to beg. And I heard some people coming from the prison, and next week they go back to prison. Why? Because they think, here I don't have a job. So it's better to do something, rob the bank or something, give the money to my relatives or something, and just go and live in prison. Today I was listening, 14 years old boy took this explosive belt and everything, and killed his own 6 or 7 people for nothing. I was thinking why he does what he's doing. Why? Because somebody might have said, you know what? In your house there are so many children and you don't have any job, no future. We'll give some $10,000 or something to your family. Sign the contract and kill yourself. And they are doing it. And so the point I'm making, all these evil people doing evil things, destroying the country, destroying their own families. Now look at the Syria. What they're doing. Syrian people killing Syrian people. All the buildings are destroyed and everything is destroyed. And you know what they think? Hey, one of these days, foreign countries and America will come and rebuild our country. That's what they think. Most of the places when they had war, America goes and build their houses. They are not listening. They are killing their own people. These people do not listen about God, so they kill their own people. Jesus Christ is coming very soon. Jesus is the call, what? Prince of Peace. People do not know how to make peace. Do you know how many presidents try to make a peace with the Israeli people and Muslim people? It's not happening. You can do anything. It will not happen. People are suffering because of their foolishness, because of their desire not to worship the real God, and they want to do what they want to do. So those kind of people, it's very hard to bring them to Christ. But we have to have a good testimony. Somebody has to say, listen, I was smoking, I was drinking, I was drug addict. Jesus saved me, so I want to rescue you. I was homeless, but Jesus rescued me. That's what the good testimony is all about. There are people dying, and we see every day. God says, you are my hands and my feet and my mouth. And so we are the hands of God, and God has kept us here. Instead of complaining, we start doing something to change the world, and we can. So God can do miracles. but we have to have heart. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. If God delivered the children of Israel from the bondage of Egypt, same God can deliver us from poverty, deliver us from the all kinds of financial crisis, sickness and disease and problems, because our God is a good God. Our God does the signs and wonders and miracles. Not only he does, but he allows us to do it, the signs and wonders and miracles by the name of Jesus. So Lord Jesus, give us grace to learn and practice and preach and win souls for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Please be seated.